joining us on the line, Jake Shepherd. Jake, a very, very good morning. Jake's the founder and director at Synthesis. How are you?
Good morning, Howard.
So it is a strange time, and we've been, of course, spending a lot of time talking about just how strange it is. But there are many good things, even though we might not have chosen them, that come out of this coronavirus situation. And one of the things that we have to learn, whether we like it or not, is resilience. Let's talk to that.
Yeah. So I think we're used to the fact that change is inevitable. And we know that tomorrow is always going to be then different to today. But I think what we need to realize in terms of the coronavirus, that really the situation is not one of a normal rate of change. Because normally the changes are fairly slow, and then we've got plenty of time to adapt. You can almost think of it as evolution. And really the crisis we're in at the moment is more what I'd call a revolution. And what we're dealing with is a time where the change is so rapid that inevitably, like any other revolution, there are going to be a lot of casualties along the way. And it's like really people being caught in the crossfires of history, of the turbulent sort of history that we're living in at the moment. And I wonder maybe just the way to think about it is like try and say, well, how do we try and characterize the time that we're living in right now? And then what that is going to imply for the world after coronavirus. And one way of thinking of it is it's thinking of it as something like a hibernation. So you're basically in lockdown, and you're going to come out of lockdown. And when you come out of lockdown, all is going to return back to normal eventually. It'll take time, but it'll eventually return back to normal. That's one way of looking at it. I want to suggest that actually we should look at it as a metamorphosis. And really, after emerging from the cocoon of lockdown, not only will the world look different, we ourselves are going to be different. And in many different ways, we're going to change in, fundamentally a lot of different ways. And I think what I want to suggest to people is if you take on board that it is going to be a metamorphosis and not a hibernation, that means you need to make peace with that. And more importantly, you need to try and adapt to the new world as it comes out. So that's really like, I suppose, the realization of what this actually means. It doesn't mean business as usual, or even a hope for business as usual in the future. It's a realization that the world has changed, and we need to change and adapt to it.
One of the things,
Yeah, go for it.
It's almost one of the things I was saying to our listeners yesterday is that to some extent if you want to use the metaphor of the ark, that we've all gone into this ark and we're going to come out to a world that isn't the same. It might in many ways, you'll see the same mountains and you'll see many of the same things, but it's actually a very, very different world that we're coming out of the ark into.
Sure. And I think I would like to just maybe just suggest to people that take two lessons out of this. And they're lessons that you can apply for now, but they're lifelong lessons, and they're lessons that'll put you in good stead going forward regardless. But take them on board at the moment and use it as a learning opportunity. I think you mentioned that right at the beginning. Just bring on board a whole bunch of stuff so that you become more resilient. And one of the lessons I'd like to suggest to people is tune into why. And what I mean about that is it's not about how we do what we do. The question is actually how will we do what we are trying to do in a different world? And so what I want to suggest to people is that you start asking yourself the question is, so don't fixate so much on will I have a job? But more importantly, will my job actually be relevant tomorrow? So whether you have a job or not, will what I do and what I, what I feel that's my passion and that's what I do and that's how I characterize who I am, will that actually be relevant tomorrow? And so one example, I suppose you could, just thinking of something like education. You've got a whole generation, you've got an entire world of students that are getting a taste of self-paced and online learning. So it wouldn't surprise me that tomorrow that whole classroom dynamic is going to be disrupted. And what we've always thought for many, many years is the role of a teacher, or let's say the what a teacher does, that's actually going to be challenged.
It's actually interesting because we were talking about this earlier, and our Israel correspondent, Rolene Marks, was saying that her neighbors just can't wait to get these kids back out of the house or out of the apartment or to school. And one of our listeners said, actually, a lot of people here that she's spoken to are saying, actually, this home learning thing is working quite well, and they've seen a shift in their kids. So I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so really then you're saying, well, if I'm a teacher, what the hell should I be doing? Because this is really threatening what I do, right? And I'm going to suggest that you start answering the question, why do you teach in the first place?
So you're going back to why. Mm. Yeah, because Ilana says, one of our listeners, Ilana says, can you ask Jake for a practical way to assist metamorphosis?
Sure. Mm. Yeah, so let's take the teaching example. So you try and answer the question why. So maybe a why for why teach the people teach is that you really want to inspire tomorrow's leaders, and that you believe in the potential of each and every person, and you want to bring out that potential in people. So then the question is, well, how on earth do I do that and put myself out there without a classroom? And then realize that there are other ways to accomplish that why. That why is broad, and there are other ways, and you don't have to stand in front of a classroom to do it. So start learning, well, what does it take to create a compelling presentation? Something that you can present to people online. You know, what does it take to make videos of myself explaining difficult content or in an engaging way, in a way that captures people's attention? So those are skills that are critical if you want to actually achieve your why, and they're skills that will be relevant. So that's one way of trying to do it from a teacher's perspective. And I think the first lesson really in terms of resilience, it's just trying to tune into your why. And that's really the most important thing. And then just think, how in this different world can you achieve that exact same why you've always done? And then the second lesson.
And just to go back to what we've spoken about before, this man's search for meaning, we know that people can survive pretty much the most horrific situations as long as they've got a why.
Exactly. So I think it was Friedrich Nietzsche who said, if you have a why, you can endure almost anyhow. You can bear almost anyhow. And I think that is so true. But it's not just in terms of meaning. And I mean, it does tap into meaning and purpose as well, definitely. And it actually gives you a lot of, there's a lot to be said just in terms of the quality of life when you're doing stuff that is very meaningful. I mean, Viktor Frankl speaks about that. Mm-hmm. So that's core, but I'm saying it's also core in trying to work out, well, what practically do I do tomorrow in order to actually overcome what the crisis is that's thrown at us.
I just want to, I'm talking to Jake Shepherd. We are talking about the resilience required or perhaps some of the positives that will come out of the corona or COVID situation. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Ellie says, to assist with metamorphosis, maybe one should focus on being an expert at something rather than just being a service provider for it. In other words, he says, don't let work depend on a specific product or service. Let that area of expertise turn you no matter how it needs to be consumed. So, in other words, that's exactly what you're saying, is going back to the core of the why and the expertise around it.
But I think there's a second lesson, and it's the second lesson is really that life is an infinite game. And I don't know, so in game theory, there are two types of games primarily. They're finite games and they're infinite games. And finite games are games where we know the rules, we know the players that are involved, and really the whole idea, it's like chess or it's checkers or baseball or soccer, and really the whole idea is to win the game. Infinite games are actually quite different. And first of all, the reason is because the rules actually aren't that clear in infinite games. And even the people that are in the playing field You actually don't even know who they are sometimes. And then the goal of an infinite game is not to win or lose, actually just to continue playing the game. So, so you can imagine like, the Cold War, with between America and the Soviet Union. It wasn't about winning the Cold War. No one would win, you know, in a Cold War. So it's really about surviving so that you can play the game for the next day is actually winning.
Yeah, that is fascinating. So Natty, your thoughts?
Absolutely agree. So, at the start of this whole thing with the lockdown, so I have mentioned that I kind of, there was a job that I was supposed to start, on the side, and, it kind of got put on hold because of the lockdown restrictions and all of that. So I was pretty depressed and thinking that, oh my gosh, do I even belong here? Should I still even do this? Because I mean, it is part of my goals, but I was like, should I not just go back to corporate? Things are changing. You know, I need a more secure, you know, thing, source of income. And then I actually, so you know how they say there are decades in which nothing happens and then there are weeks in which decades happen. So I feel like that's basically been my thing where I've had a lot of time to think. And I realized there's no need to change my goals. I actually need to, and I liked what you said, Jake, that you need to think about how you will do what you want to do. So, you know, in light of that, I was like, you know what? Actually, I need to do something that's going to make me more attractive. Maybe not even to this organization, but on a bigger scale even. So as a result, I've decided, let me just further my studies because I mean, that is what's going to make me more attractive so that I can even be attractive to, you know, maybe even international organizations.
It's,
yeah.
That's absolutely. Jack, are you there?
Yeah. No, so I just battling to hear Zanati.
Oh dear. After all of that. Okay, so basically what Zanati is saying is that when this whole COVID thing started, she was hoping to land herself a job, you know, in the other part of the day, doing some other work, and it was all put on hold. And she realized that she now needs to go back to her expertise and she needs to grow it further rather than simply just have relied on that position that would have been very nice to have had.
Sure. No, and that's 100% true. And just tap into your why and actually just say, well, what else can I do that actually feeds that?
I think some of the difficulty that people have is that it's all very overwhelming. And we almost, you know, the song we played before, Wake Me Up When It's All Over, is some kind of a wish that people have because maybe they just want to get through this so they can get back to normal. But actually what you're saying is we're not getting back to normal. So why don't you just rather just stop, take this time and figure it all out?
Yeah. And I think part of that is realizing that life actually always should have been looked at differently. And it was this whole concept that I read in some Infinite Game. And it really points out that business, I mean, life itself is an infinite game, but business is an infinite game as well. And the way to understand that is the game of business predates any business around today, and it will still continue when every single company has folded or disappeared from the face of the earth that currently exist in the earth. So business itself is an infinite game. And so what does that mean? So it means that those businesses that have invested in an infinite mindset are going to reap the rewards at times like this.
Can you just explain that? Sorry, Jack, before you carry on, will you explain the difference between a finite game and an infinite game?
Yeah, so finite games is where you know the rules, you know the players, and basically the goal is to win or lose.
Okay.
An infinite game is the entire goal is to continue playing the game. It's not about winning. It's about how do I set this thing up? Chess is a finite game. How do I set this thing up so that I'm always playing? And as soon as you have that mindset, I always want to play. So what that means is you're saving money in good times. So instead of like giving fat bonuses and then spending all of your money, and saying, I've got this money, let's spend it. So you basically say, all right, I've got to plan for those rough times ahead. There are going to be rough times. Might not be this year, might not be next year, might not be the year after. But I can tell you, if you think carefully, in the next 30 years, you're going to have a rough patch. And if you're playing an infinite game, you're looking out for that. And then also you actually want your people to be in a mode where they're actually in a problem, so they've got the will to adapt, the people in the organization. They really want to come to the party and adapt. And I think, so infinite game, companies that are, that invest in an infinite game are just so much better equipped because they're not in, at a time like this, they're not in survival mode. They're actually in reinvention mode. They're actually looking for the opportunities. And the only way you can do that is you need to actually adopt an infinite game mindset.
So, okay. Sorry, carry on your thought.
So one way I touched on is like, for example, like saving for tomorrow, realizing that you always need, I mean, it's a little bit like Joseph, you know, realize that in times of plenty, you need to put away some grain for the lean times. Mm. And one way of doing that is just to, is to say like, when we look at a company, what do we see? We see, and how do we judge the company and the performance of the company? We see, look, how much, what's their growth like? What's their profitability like? You know, what's their share price? How many people do you ever say, what's their stability?
Yeah.
And yet in the age of Corona, what could be more important than stability? And how many of the people today are confident that their job is secure, that their salary is not going to be reduced? And how, what would they give to be part of a stable company? So that's like one way of the infinite game plays itself out. But another way is just in terms of an empowering culture. Really you as a, and we've spoken about this, you know, in previous talks before, but it's creating an environment where people feel that others have their back. So it's an environment of trust and where people care for one another. Cause I can tell you when people care for one another, they sacrifice for one another as well. So it's about trust. And it's not that we're trusting people not to break the rules. It's we trust them that they know when to break those rules. And then obviously with trust comes tremendous speed and agility in a business because you don't have to second guess anybody else. You trust them. So if they got an idea, if they see a gap, let them go for it. And that's really the importance, in terms of you have to create a culture that allows people to quickly adapt to a new environment. And again, that's an infinite mindset. It's not about me controlling you and micromanaging you. It's about me trying to build you up like a people building company and, you know, as opposed to a people using company where you basically have people that can actually think on their feet, know that they don't have to second guess their decisions and they can just go for it. And that without a culture like that, it's very difficult to adapt quickly, you know, in the sort of environment that we're in today.
Unfortunately, you have to, whether we like it or not, even if you don't have that culture, you're going to have to start developing it. Even if it would have been better to have had that mindset prior to COVID, you now no longer have a choice.
100%. Yeah, so effectively what it's saying is it might actually even be too late because to try and create a culture and a mindset like that is incredibly hard. Mm, it takes a long period of time. But there is going to be another crisis. And I think what the lesson to take out of the current crisis is there's going to be another one. And the amount that we're hurting now, remember that. Don't forget it when the times become good again. Remember how hard it is and say, all right, how do I equip myself so the next time something like this happens, I'm prepared.
And that's the metamorphosis. That is the change that we need to bring to ourselves, to our families and to our businesses, I would imagine.
Sure.
Jake Shepherd, founder and director at Synthesis, thank you as always for your incredible wisdom. Have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you.